Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor. They're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs.
HDG Architecture is proud to be a sponsor of The Perimeter with Adam Morrison. There is another podcast that you all should be listening to, and it's called If Not Now, When? This podcast, which Josh Hsiang of HDG Architecture hosts, has a clear mission to ignite positive change within the Spokane community. On the podcast, Josh brings together diverse individuals from city officials, business owners, journalists, influencers, and big thinkers to have meaningful conversations about what we can do to help transform downtown Spokane into an even more vibrant and robust community. By talking to these movers and shakers, the podcast aims to inspire and empower its listeners by actively shaping their city's future. You can find the If Not Now, When podcast wherever you are listening to The Perimeter at, or you can find it in the description of this episode.
Welcome to The Perimeter, Season 3, Episode 8, sponsored by McGilvery Environmental. Just got back from Vegas a couple days ago. It was a good weekend for the Zags. I was fortunate enough to go to the Pac-12 championship game. It was pretty cool. I got tickets, luckily, somehow.
Yeah.
So I went to about, I showed up like right at the end of the first half, so I watched the whole second half. I had really good tickets and stuff, so it was kind of cool to witness history a little bit. Really cool game. I had no dog in the fight. I must say that Allegiant Stadium is unbelievable.
I was going to ask. It looks like a pretty cool place.
It's really cool. Packed to the gills, so it was a cool atmosphere. But I've been to football games. My cousin plays for University of Wyoming, so I go to one or two games a year. Been to NFL games, not very many. But I understand why, like, people don't like bringing their kids to that. There is so many people, like, completely trashed, screaming in your ear, like, obscenities. And it's just like, oh, my God, dude. And now it makes sense when you see all the fights and stuff, like, all the clips. It's like, oh, yeah. There's guy. I mean, we had a guy behind me that was, like, fall down, pissed drunk, and screaming in all of our ears because he presumed we were UW fans.
Oh my, right.
And he had,
oh man.
He was probably like 45 and he had the folding, the praying hands tattoo with like the old English writing prayer. So then you're like, all right.
Oh man.
And then he had the fake, you know, diamond earring jewelry, which he was too old for. And he was wearing an Oregon basketball jersey. And he was obviously wasn't in shape to be wearing a tank top. And it was so hard not to like get engaged with him and because you don't want to get in a fight and you get you know, assault charges or whatever. But he was like screaming, and like I was sitting with some other people that, you know, that got me the tickets that I knew, and like screaming in their ears, like it was crazy. And I just kept thinking, like, I get why like people don't go to football games, like, because I've heard that like it's really hard to take your kids to an NFL. I don't know, it was an NFL game, but like, you know, there's so many drunk people in the obscenities, and I learned.
Yeah. Well, especially that rivalry, too. Like, I imagine, like, Ducks fans were, well, not happy with the outcome. And
I kept telling them, like, dude, we have no dog in the fight. Like, literally, I was like, we don't care who wins. We're just watching a good football game. And then he was like, you guys are dog fans. It was a joke. And he didn't have any friends with him. And then he kept yelling at these two younger UW kids in front of him. And the one guy goes, "Hey man, where's your wife and kids, you loser?" You know, and it was the best. I was like, "Yes," like, not that that determines if you're a loser or not,
right? But
like,
yeah.
It was just like, you have no friends or nobody cares about you. You're by yourself at a chip. You literally was by himself. There was a UW fan and then there was two Oregon fans sitting next to him, and he went left to probably get more beer. And we asked, like, "Is that your guy's friend?" They're like, "No." So we were like, "This guy's sitting by himself." Yeah. You know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Really fun game, though, and it was kind of sad, to be honest, you know, because obviously we're in the WCC, but, like, I grew up on the Pac-12 and stuff, and, like, always kind of root, I guess, for the Cougs when they're good, you know, like, when Leach was there, and I was like, all right, now it's just, like, completely gone. You're like, this is kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's over, and the Pac-12
is over.
Gone.
Like, there's no West Coast conference, big-time conference for football. It's weird to even, like, say that out loud.
Yeah, it is weird.
You know, like, every team is, like, going to be playing in the Midwest or the East Coast on the road. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
It felt weird, and it felt kind of sad. But obviously, it was a fun event. And then, you know, I think that...
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Greens. How's everything going today?
Hey, Robert. We're good. Just checking in on that car loan we applied for.
No worries. Let me pull that up. Yep, looks like you're approved and all set.
Hey, that's great news.
So, you headed over to the dealership now?
Yep, just gotta make one stop first.
And we got a great rate too.
I think the tournament for this game, not the tournament, but the promoters of this game are hoping USC, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
Made it. Football-wise, and then UW, because they played Colorado State before us, so they were hoping. So there was a lot of UW fans at the basketball game, and obviously they were excited and played Colorado State, and we'll get into the UW matchup that's coming up on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice because I got to watch them live for about, you know, half.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That was a good game, too.
It was a good game, and Colorado State's actually a good program, and UW did a good job of hanging in that game and had chances to to win, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought UW looked good. I'll dive into their, you know, roster and their kind of philosophy change in the past. And I really think, Hopkins is kind of coaching for his job in theory. I don't know how much the university cares about basketball anymore. Not saying they don't, but, like, you know, if he goes 20-12, are they happy? You know what I mean? With an improvement from last year, or is it like, hey, you need to make a run and, or you're fired. So I'll go into that. But Gonzaga obviously played USC. The proposal hype at the start of the year, remember when this game first got announced? Oh, my God, we're going to play Bronny James.
Yeah.
He was actually out there warming up. Mm-hmm. It was good to see.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so I think he's going to play probably the next week or whoever they play against. So that'll be nice for their program. Super talented team, man. The Collier kid, the freshman, was really good. I was really impressed with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just a big, strong athlete. He reminded me kind of a, and this may be over some of the listeners' heads if they're not NBA people, but like Tyreke Evans that played at Sacramento a few years ago and that played at, I think, Kentucky before that. Just like big time guard, uses strength a lot on his drives, straight line drives. You know, nothing, not that he doesn't have anything in his bag, but it was mostly just like power, get to the rim. He passed the ball extremely well. I mean, he was 6 of 14, only had 14, but he had 6 assists, but I thought he was better than the numbers showed, like his impact on the game was good. But I was really impressed with their roster, but also it felt like a really good AAU team, not in a bad way, but like they had like, you know, top 40 recruit, McDonald's All-American, number one recruit, Bronny James.
Right.
But it's like, this feels like a traveling AAU team where like you have to keep, like if you're coaching that team, you have to keep everybody happy and the continuity is probably not there yet. Maybe it will come to fruition, but it feels like, you know, every single one of those guys is probably thinking he's a one and done. And it might be difficult. And not saying they all had, there was all freshmen, but like, you know, the Boogie Ellis kid was fantastic, had 28, 12 of 21.
Yeah.
Transfer from Memphis. but he's probably like, I got to go get to the league and, you know, whatever. So it had that feeling of it. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it just was like this team chemistry, not that they would hate each other, but to get the ball pinging would be a difficult task for their coach. But we came out as solid as we have of any game this year, and it looked like old Zags, and I don't know how to even say, you know, 6 months ago Zags.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
I felt like this was our most complete game of the season.
100%. Yeah, we came out, I think we scored, it was 15-4 or something like that at the first media.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, we finally made threes, and it's such a big difference.
Yeah.
And not that this team can't shoot, but it's not, you know, you don't have a Julian Strother or Corey Kispert or, you know what I mean, guys that could really fill it up in theory. But, you know, Ben Gregg obviously had a big game. But in that first stanza, Dusty hit a couple. I think Nolan hit one.
Yeah.
Ryan, I got to give him credit, has finally slowed down a count. And that's the biggest thing he needed to do. He was playing so fast in Maui, and it wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know, and like floor game-wise, it's okay because he's flattened the defense, but he's just like kind of out of control and taking like some bad ones. And in the last two games, I think he got the message. And I don't think it was probably something the staff said. He probably watched the film and just looked at his numbers like, hey, man, I got to be more efficient. He's really slowed down in a good way and, you know, made floaters, taking better jump shots and rhythm. You know, not turning the ball over as much. He was 6-11, 15 points, 7 rebounds. 5 turnovers is not great, but also I give him sometimes some grace because he plays so quick.
Yeah.
And he tries to make things happen. So sometimes as a coach or as a, you know, somebody involved, I look at those as somewhat positive. Now, you don't want to creep past 5, but, you know, if you're playing downhill and you're trying to make things happen, like, you got to live with some of those.
Yeah.
But he started the game out fantastic. Graham played really good in that first stanza as well. I think he's slowing down too and recognizing when the double team's coming and getting lower touches. He had a really good game, 14 points, 10 rebounds, 5 of 10. So he was efficient, made all of his free throws, 4 of 4. He's another one, though, had 4 turnovers. Now, his turnovers would be viewed different because he's not, you know, making, handling the ball. So I think his ability to read the double teams will get better as the season goes on. It's kind of weird, though, because he got double teamed a lot at Wyoming because he was, I mean, they literally just threw him the ball and they ran ISO. It was like 1990 style, like literally that whole season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they throw it to him at like 15 feet, 18 feet, and he would back down. And if they doubled, they just space the floor with shooters. If not, he would go shoot it. I mean, that's literally all they did. They made the NCAA tournament, but it was like 1990s, throw it to Charles Barkley, and you know.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense why he'd come to Gonzaga then to take over for Timmy then, right?
Yeah. Well, and somewhat. Then, yeah. And then I think, you know, there was a big exodus at Wyoming and you know, I don't know the full details, but a lot of guys transferred. So he probably just was like, you know, and a lot of guys, and this is no disrespect for Wyoming, but Gonzaga is obviously a way better program with more eyeballs. So if you're thinking about the next level, you go somewhere, you know, his numbers will take a dip compared to 20-10 or whatever he averaged and was Mount West Player of the Year. But also you're going to be on like an NBA style team with flow offense, and if you can be efficient in that, you'll have a better opportunity. So that was probably the thought process, in my opinion. But my point is, he was double teamed a lot there, but he doesn't struggle with it. But at times, it looks like it's foreign. So sometimes I'm less like, man, what is he doing? And but I think he's better at it in the last two games than he was the previous three or whatever.
Yeah.
So my point is, he's improving.
How do you work on that, like get better at it?
So sometimes it's reads. A lot of times, if you know you're getting double teamed, especially in the post, you have to get your touches got to be lower. So instead of like 12 to 15 feet, you got to try to catch it on the block or about 8. So you can spin away from it. You can see it coming from the top side, and you can get his – he has a nice, really nice touch around the rim.
Yeah, he does.
That lefty jump hook. So then the double team becomes kind of worthless because it's so low. Also in practice, you can work on, because I remember the listeners, you know, if they want to really go back, Roney's last year, my sophomore year, he like completely crapped his pants the whole time for a half a season on the double team. He just couldn't function with it, and teams did it. And that was kind of the start of the era where teams double team, no matter if you were like a prolific scorer or not. Roni was a better scorer than most post players, but like sometimes I think the average basketball mind thinks like you only double team guys that score a lot. Like sometimes you double team guys that average five, but they can't, they don't know how to throw out of it. They'll dribble off their foot. Mm-hmm. They'll just, you know, poop down their leg, basically, is what I'm trying to
say. Yeah.
And so that's a real thing. That's why you always have a double team package. And Graham's not that, but he sometimes reverse dribbles and then he gets really high up and then, you know, doesn't make the best decisions.
Mm-hmm. Or takes a bad shot.
Against it. Yeah, a little off. But my point is he's gotten better at it. And then last game he got deep touches. Mm-hmm. And so it showed up in the stat sheet. Like I said, he has 14 and 10 and plays a lot more efficient. So I was impressed with him. Obviously, I talked about Nembhard. Dusty Schroemer's starting to play good basketball two games.
He really is.
Yeah. I mean, obviously 5 of 13 is not the most efficient, but he goes 4 for 9 from three, has 5 rebounds, 15 points. He's starting to shoot it with confidence. Mm-hmm. He's starting to score in different variations. I'm happy for him because at the start of the year, you know, he was having, you know, 2 points, 4 points. And, you know, not that it was freak out time, but it was also like, you know, he came in as a top 40 recruit, you know, as a scorer.
Yeah.
And you're playing 35, 38 minutes. You got to put the ball in the basket. And I think he's understood that. You can tell he's a really smart kid, smart player. Mm-hmm. I love his athleticism, his, you know, kind of defensive awareness and then how he moves around the court. I know that sounds kind of funny, but, like, he's always kind of in the right places. You know, the nose for the ball is what I'm trying to get at. And you knew he could score it, but you didn't want him to get buried having, like, five – not bad games where you just didn't put it in. Mm-hmm. And so to have two in a row where the ball's coming off his hands, I think he had 10 the last game against whoever the hell we played, Bakersfield. So, you know, 10 and now he has 15. He's starting to knock down three. So I was really impressed with his game.
Question about that.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything. I got to imagine USC must have been in his, like, sites when he was going to college, right?
And UCLA probably.
And UCLA,
I think were too.
Yeah.
So I bet playing in that game had some extra motivation
totally,
for him.
Yeah.
Because I bet you know, it's just me, you know, guessing, but this is kind of how it goes. If you are from an area and you go somewhere else, usually you hear flack either out front or behind the scenes, and then you know, people, oh, why would you go there? That type of stuff. So I'm sure he's heard that all summer, you know, and a lot of programs too, you know, I'm not saying we've never done it, but I don't think we're in the forefront, but like, even if a kid commits, hey, you sure you really want to go there? You know what I mean? If if he's in your back door or backyard.
Yeah.
So I think that probably had some extra motivation for him. Because I know UCLA was after him. I know that for a fact. So that game was probably the same deal.
Totally.
And, you know, so, and you got to remember, like, he was supposedly, you know, going to play 17 to 20 minutes a night before Steele got hurt.
Right.
So now he's doing all of the defensive work and he's playing 35, 38 minutes. So I think, I said this on air, and some people don't understand it. Like, you're in shape, but you're not in college shape going from high school. Mm-hmm. And, like, you have to play every single possession in college and high school. You don't.
Yeah.
You can save steps. I mean, that's just the reality. If you're, especially if you're a dominant player. Like, I used to sit in the middle of a zone and take plays off. Not just let them lay it up, but I'd just be like, all right, I'm going to score 30 tonight, and if I need a break, I'm going to take two plays off. Not just stand there, but you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm going to save my body. And, you know, the kid I'm guarding is a football player. He's not a basketball kid.
Right?
Yeah. So go ahead and shoot it, bud. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's kind of the thought, and you think you can do that in the college level, and then you get there, and you're like, oh, God, I have to play defense the whole possession every single time.
Uh-huh.
I have to box out every single time. And so your body, it takes a while to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think some of that for him early in the season was the reason why he was short on his jumpers and wasn't as aggressive, you know, only shooting 4 or 5 times a game. Now he, you know, he gets up 13 shots. They were good shot. I don't think he took a bad one. So I think his body and his wind got used to the pace and you're starting to see him score the basketballs, which is good for us. We need a perimeter threat, especially talking about the Graham EK double teams. You got to have somebody to make a shot.
Right, 100%. Yeah, we really need that.
And we've talked about, I mean, how shitty they were shooting in Maui, and that's nothing. I mean, I always have to say this, but I probably shouldn't. But like the guys, you know, the listeners know I'm not killing the guys, but they were bad shooting the basketball in that tournament. And it was nice seeing them. I mean, we go 12 of 22. It just makes such a big difference. And not saying you have to light the world on fire every time. You know, you shoot the basketball, but you can't go 0 for 16 and then 6 for 32 and then 6 for 26. You know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't – if you go 10 for 22 or 10 for 24, you can live with that. You know, you get 30 points from beyond the arc. You can live with it. So it was fantastic to see from that standpoint, ball going in the basket. I thought Nolan played good, kind of in a just a quiet 10 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, only 1 turnover, 4 for 6. I think this year's team is kind of going to be that where, you know, there's 6 guys might have double figures, 10, you know, 5 guys in double figures, and then one guy will have a big game, and then the rest will kind of fill in, and it kind of goes ring around the rosy. I was posed this question previously, and is it good or bad that we don't have, like, a throw it to one guy and go get a bucket or get a good shot? And you can look at it both ways. Last year, the last three years, you could throw it to Drew, and he was going to get a good shot. Doesn't mean he was going to score every time, but we saw it in the NCAA tournament. He did it 2 games, I think 2 years in a row, where we were playing pretty bad, and he kind of took over. So obviously, from that standpoint, it's great. But on the counter, if you don't have that, if you have 4 or 5 guys on the floor, you think that can get a good quality shot up within your offense, that's not as easy to defend. So that's the counter to it.
For sure.
So that is one of the questions for me for this club as the year progresses. And we'll get into a game and we'll find out what the answer is. But if we get down where it's, you know, we're down 2 or we're up 2 and we need the shot clock to be a factor, do we throw it to Graham? Do we throw it to Nolan? Do we throw it to Ryan? I don't know the answer.
Yeah, that's a great question. Right. I think that would be revealed later in the season. I would imagine.
Yeah.
When you need a 3, we're going to know who that is probably during in January.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see who that is and if that, because it's been, like I said, it's been 3 years, maybe 3 years plus, but 3 years for sure with Drew that you've had that guy. Most teams in Gonzaga have had that guy. I was one of them. Obviously, Dan Dicka was one of them.
Olenek
was one of them, definitely. You could argue Kevin Pangos was one of those.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get a good, like, at least the action you ran with him, he was either going to shoot a 3 or make the right read.
Yeah.
You could argue Wilcher was a little bit for maybe half a season last year where he could at least get a good shot off.
Definitely.
Domus, you could argue you throw it to him and you get a good post touch. Right?
Yeah, no,
you could just keep going down the line. We're like, yeah, that was probably a guy where, you know, if you came to the timeout, you're like, all right, we're throwing it to this guy. So it'll be interesting as the year progresses, something to look for. And I'm not saying none of the guys that I mentioned, you know, obviously that are playing heavy minutes can't be that guy. We just haven't seen it yet. And they haven't played a full season to have those opportunities. But, you know, the last guy to have, you know, or to talk about during this game was Ben Gregg, was fantastic.
Gosh, no kidding.
Yeah, he was just a spark plug off the bench, 5 of 7, 2 of 3 from downtown, made both free throws, 8 rebounds, 14 points in only 16 minutes. I just loved his attitude throughout this whole process. You know, he's kind of, you know, plays 12 to 18 minutes a night, always plays extra hard, doesn't know when he's going to get his shots, doesn't know he's going to get the ball, you know what I mean? And sometimes it's funny, he kind of takes, not bad ones, but ones if you're going pure basketball, be like, why is he shooting a jab 3? That's his game. Like, get in a rhythm, shoot a jab 3, and then fly around on defense, and then fly around on the offensive glass. And he's been, you know, extremely efficient this year. You know, him and Braden. Braden had 12 points off the bench. He was good too. But Ben's energy is what I was impressed with in that game. And I think he gets everybody else going because he's a, you know, everybody likes him. He's a nice kid. You know, I think all the ladies like him too. He's a very handsome kid too.
He is a very handsome guy, isn't he?
I saw it was funny after one of the games, there was, I think, two or three cheerleaders, and you know they have the big head things?
Yeah.
And they had the Ben Gregg, and they were taking pictures of them, pretend kissing him on both sides. I'm like, oh, what's it like to be 21 again, man?
No kidding.
You know what I mean? It was just like, oh, my God. But, yeah, he's been fantastic, honestly.
Totally.
Just his energy the whole season. And, like I said, I've always appreciated his kind of energy and his, you know, like he doesn't seem too – ticked off if he doesn't play a lot. I'm sure it bothers him, but he doesn't ever show it outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he gets his minutes, he makes the most of them. So it's been fun watching him kind of you know, fall into that role. And it was such a luxury to have. A lot of programs don't have those type of guys that are talented.
Yeah,
that do the dirty work, but are talented enough to make a jumper. You mm-hmm. know, and string some together. You know, not just a hustle guy and that's it. Like,
yeah.
He's a hustle guy, but he can make shots. He can string them together. He can guard. He defends at the rim good enough. So I'm really starting to really like this club, man.
It's fun to watch. Like, I really do think, and I think one of the coolest things about this game was how of the seven guys that played, or is it seven?
It was a six or seven, got in double figures.
Yeah, one, I mean, two, and Anton three, was four, 1 point
five,
away.
Six, yeah, so basically seven, yes.
Yeah, like that's very healthy for a team, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
It's really hard to scout,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And not that it's going to go like that, and then it goes into the topic we just talked about, you know, 2 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get down to the, you know, the nitty-gritty games, is it better to have two guys that can go get you 25 plus, well, you could argue against that, but what if they're off, you know?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, we could go back and forth.
But I think we can do that. I think, cause like Anton did that against UCLA.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
And I think like Graham has that. If he's single coverage, he can score in those. And then obviously I think Nembhard has that ability. I mean, he had 30 points in a tournament game last year.
Yeah.
I think Nolan has that if he strings together from the 3-point line. Maybe Dusty does. I haven't seen enough, but he's starting to score.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not out of the realm, but I just love how kind of gritty this team is.
Mm-hmm.
They rebound. I mean, they were plus six again on the glass. I think they got to be in the top five overall, like margin.
I wonder.
Yeah, maybe look that up. But like against Purdue, they go even or plus two. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They would go plus two. I think it was 20 against Syracuse.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was just like, Jesus. But yeah, it was a complete game. It was great for the crowd. Vegas has been so good to us as far as obviously the WCC tournament. When we played in that weird tournament a few years ago, we played like Central Michigan, and then we played UCLA and Duke. Mm-hmm. Even though we lost the Duke game, it was like if you were the promoters of that game and ESPN, like that was one of the better college basketball games of that year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like we lost, but we were like, well, we could have won that. And I remember walking out of that and was like, is anybody mad? And, you know, like this, and everybody's like, no. It was like, that was actually pretty fun. And, you know, it's a regular season game. It's not going to be viewed as a bad loss. You know what I'm saying? But like in Vegas, we've had some great, you know, crowds and played well. It's the first time at this arena, the MGM Grand Arena. It was decent, but that's so weird. Like, just to go off topic a little bit, like, how many arenas are in Vegas now? It's crazy.
A ton.
It used to be like Thomas and Mack was the one, and then that was it. And now you're like, fuck, everybody has like a side arena. And you get it, but you're also like, how is this? Because you walk up, you don't even know it's there. And then, you know, because they fit them like in the casino.
In the casino, yeah.
And then you walk in, you're like, holy smokes, this holds like 15,000. It's not tiny. You know what right. I mean? It's just so, it's random. But yeah, I thought it was fantastic for, you know, the crowd, fantastic for our guys to play well. I think obviously Fuey was happy. It was a good win. I think USC is going to be good. They were 33 in the KenPom. So I think if they continue to play well, it could turn into a quad one win, mm-hmm. at least a quad two. Super talented group, man. Like I said, Collier's fantastic. DJ Rodman played at Wazoo, so some of the listeners might know he mm-hmm. was okay. But the Boogie Ellis guy had 28 was good. But our game plan against Kobe Johnson was good. You know, and kind of just bothered their perimeter players. Just three of their perimeter guys accounted for, I think it was 72% of their scoring. So going into it, it was like, get through all the ball screens, know all their actions, and if you can hold those guys down, you're going to be successful. But
well, it was kind of goes to your point of last episode you mentioned, like letting a player be the one that scores all the points mm-hmm. and then focus on the other players. Like, I think they kind of did that with USC this time. But, it was a great game. I had like a family Christmas night at my house. So it was all my brothers and my dad. And we all just felt very, very excited about the Zags' future.
Yeah. I think that this was the game that, you know, not that, because we talked about Maui was a success in my mm-hmm. mind. I mean, obviously we wanted to beat Purdue, but I think it was a success.
Yeah.
But seeing the ball go in the basket and then mixing in the hustle and the grittiness and the willingness to defend that this crew has, it's like, well, this might be a fun year mm-hmm. as far as a team that you're kind of like, hey, you know, it's not like we don't have expectations, but we don't have Drew, we don't have Julian. Like,
yeah.
And then you're like, oh, they're kind of forming a nice little bond together. And mm-hmm. I like those teams. I think everybody else does too.
Totally.
And then also, like, you know, this might sound funny, but like, we're not a team that's probably going to blow people out by 35. Mm-hmm. So the games are more enjoyable to watch, more fun to call.
It reminds me of the year I just met Eric McKellen mm-hmm. and then Kyle Wilcher, Shimmick was on the team. It was the year after, it was the year before the national championship run. And that team always kind of like, Wilcher was like the leading scorer, but uh-huh. like, it was just, they were just gritty and they were like, they ended up being 11 seed in the tournament. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll be an 11 seed in the tournament,
no.
But it was just, it was always like very much team victories.
Yeah.
And I like, that's what I love about this team is the teamwork.
No, I agree. I mean, there's not many, you know, things that I can hammer on. Obviously the shooting, I mean, we go 12 of 22, which is great, but that's going to be something to continue to watch. But if you can play defense and rebound and move the ball as a group and you have balanced scoring, like, you're going to win a majority of your games. So I'm just excited as the year progresses. We're playing – who are we playing at Pine Bluff tonight? I'm not even going to talk about that.
Arkansas, Pine Bluff. Yeah. To answer your question about our rebound margin, we are number 9 in the nation with a 12 rebound margin, averaging – 43.4 rebounds per game.
So to the listeners, we're plus 12 on average. Against, so 43 to 31 normally is what it is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
And so if you're successful, you always want to win the rebound margin, but if you want to be elite, the goal is usually 10 is the margin.
Yeah.
And sometimes those numbers get skewed. You know, you might have a club that's, you know, played like four Sisters of the Poor, and you know what I mean?
Gotcha,
so like, that's something that you watch, but if you're in the top 10, top 20 consistently every year, that means you care about the glass and it helps you win basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the offensive end, if you're not a great shooting team, even if you are, you get putbacks and you get kick out threes. The hardest shot in basketball to guard is a kick out because you're scrambling.
Yeah.
So I just love where this team's trending. The turnovers, again, are a question that we got to, you know, or something we got to watch. 13 is not great. But what I mentioned earlier, Ryan had 5 and Graham has 4, so that's 9, obviously. So if those guys just clean it up a little bit, we're down under 10.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the Ryan's are a little bit of, he plays really fast in a good way, and he tries to make things happen. So sometimes the guy's going to get stolen from, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then Graham's have gotten better, but he'll still continue to work against double teams and understand that aspect of you know, what he needs to do to be more efficient underneath. But he's had a great season so far.
Totally.
So, you know. So now getting into University of Washington. Like I said, I watched them a little bit before. They played Colorado State, who's actually a really good team, ranked 13th in the country. Really tough, gritty team from the Mountain West. And it was, I think, 86-81. It was a close game.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado State hit a big three late, kind of deflated UW's comeback attempt, but they've overhauled their roster, a lot of new transfers, new players. They've gone away from the 2-3 because Hopkins was a disciple of Boeheim, and he came over. How long has he had this job? Probably 8 years, I think, now, maybe. That's a good question.
That is a good question.
But he came over and tried to implore the same style that Syracuse had. Get extremely long, athletic guys, run a weird 2-3, and then kind of play, roll the ball out there, and we'll beat you with talent and athleticism. Mm-hmm. Not a bad strategy, but harder to do, in my opinion. So,
been with Washington since 2017.
So it's year six or seven, whatever. Yeah, year seven.
Year seven, yep.
So, you know, I think went to the NCAA tournament once. You look that up?
Yeah, I could look that up.
So, like I said earlier in the start, is I think they're playing for their job or coaching for their job. So I'm impressed when people not only recognize that, but just recognize stuff's not working and they change their philosophy. So they're playing man-to-man more. They're trying to play a little bit more disciplined on offense. We're running more actions. The Keon Brooks kid is having a fantastic year, shooting 54% from the field, 81% from the line, averaging 8 rebounds, almost 22 points a game. So he's going to be a factor for us defensively. Mm-hmm. The Wheeler kid's having a good year, almost 17 points a game, shooting 43% from the field. He obviously can score in bunches, but he's not as efficient as Brooks. So it's going to be an interesting game. We're playing at Heck Ed, which I respect Coach Few, you know, playing them because they came to our building. Mm-hmm. And we've had close games against them. That one year, Rui had to make that last-second fadeaway. You know, obviously my years, but that's beyond, you know, the Hopkins era. That was Romar.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun game. Like I said, this team's 4-3. They're not terrible. They had a great win against Xavier. Xavier's good. Kind of a bad loss against Nevada. Nevada's not great. Mm-hmm. A loss in overtime to San Diego State. Supposed to be good. Not as good as last year, but we were playing them. We're looking at that game as a hopefully a quad one. So, you know, if they could have got that win, it would have been better. But, you know, this is going to be a tough one. And like I said, playing at Heck Ed is always a fun environment. It's a little bit different. It's kind of an odd-sized gym. They get rocking in there if there's the right opponent. Seattle's just starving for good basketball, man. God. For like 10, probably 20 years now, if you're really thinking about 15 at least.
Yeah.
And you always just, this is not me just hating on UW, but you're like, man, just be 20 and 12 every year and like be like in the NCAA tournament, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
they just have so much talent in that area and they've had for a long time and they just, you know, somehow it's escaped them. But I do respect Hopkins trying to change it and trying to run, you know, more conventional stuff, changing his roster, not playing a 2-3 zone that I think is just easy to defend against when you know it's coming the whole game.
Yeah.
Now, mix and match is good. But, yeah, so I'm looking forward to this one. You know, it's going to be an interesting test for us. It's always, like I said, a hostile environment there.
You know, not going on a neutral site, so that's always make things. Imagine, yeah. I mean, I've never seen a game there, so I don't.
It's cool. It's a weird, and it's like this. I think it's the smallest of the Pac-12s.
Mm.
So whatever that means to you, but I think it provides a better environment. It's like kind of a stacked seating arrangement, so like they pack a lot in there in a smaller space, and when there's people in there, it's vile. In a good way.
You
know what I mean? Their student section gets pretty after it. And
as they should.
As they should, exactly. Yeah. It's more fun that way. And you know, like, that's what college basketball and college football is like student sections. And they should be a little bit where you cringe a little bit. We're like, can we say that still? You know, you know, obviously not the crazy stuff, but like some of it should be a little bit personal. And if you shoot an air ball, you should get made fun of. And
absolutely.
All those things. And so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. The last run for the UW in the tournament was Hopkins' first year in 2018.
Oh,
they,
okay.
They lost in the second round to St. Mary's. And since then, they've just been
like kind 500,
of, they've
right?
been, I mean, they haven't had a winning season since 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
So it's so been, that's what I'm saying. Tough, like, yeah.
If you're the, you know, the athletic department, are you, is the guy coaching for his job, or are you just all in for football?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That that really does happen too, where you're like, all right, you know, football is going to take most of our resources, and obviously then they're in the playoff.
Yeah.
So we just, we don't really care, or not care is not the, we're not concerned.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting, but if it feels like, in my opinion, that that staff is coaching for their jobs. And mm-hmm. so there's going to be some, you know, some hungerness to the trying to get this win. And if you can beat Gonzaga, that could save your job.
Yeah.
You know, or at least give you some ammo when you go in and talk to them at the end of the year. Well, we beat Gonzaga, and that mm-hmm. means we're on the, we're on the rise, you know. I mean, you yeah. have, it gives you an out. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's always fun, like I said, going into that arena. I had a really good game there my junior year, my freshman year. I got a random technical and sat the whole game, and I've never, that was the most mad I've been in a long time at Coach Few, like in my entire life. I got a random, like I held a guy's jersey on like a out of bounds play, but not like just pulled him down, but like I grabbed it real quick because I was getting beat on a screen. And mm-hmm. Dave Libby is this guy's name. Or, you know, it's one of these stories where people are like, I don't give a shit whose name it is, but he ended up being the head of officials, and he was like probably one of the best officials on the West Coast. He called it like just by the letter of the law, and I got a technical like in my first 2 minutes on the floor, and I sat the rest of the game as a freshman, and I had like tears in my eyes, so mad. Because I had friends coming to that, and I was from Spokane, all that stuff. And I had to sit, and funny enough, I saw his name is Dave Libby. He then became the head of the officials, like association, whatever does the West Coast Conference and the Pac-12. I saw him on an airplane one time, and I said that to him. He just started laughing. He's like, yeah, I probably went a little bit overboard on that, but it was funny. I was like, hey, Dave, you asshole, like... Why'd you call that? And he's like, well, he didn't even remember. Then he's, I was like, you know, I had to re-explain. He's like, oh yeah, you grabbed his jersey. And I was like, you don't just call a foul, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so played there twice. Had one good one, one bad one. But I'm looking forward to calling. And UW's a good team. I know that, like we mentioned, 4-3, but they're talented. Like I said, the Brooks kid is really good. They've given us issues in the past. And obviously, you never know when you get these rivalry games, and you get, you know, the crowd and stuff. So it's going to be a great. It's our first road game, right? Yeah, it's our first true road game.
It's the first true road game. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that add that into it, and so yeah, I'm really looking forward to calling it, and it should be a good one. And you know, I think our guys are ready for it. We match up well against them, but they have enough talent that if they get rocking. And going in there that they can, you know, upset us. That's a legitimate question.
Absolutely.
Or a legitimate thing that can happen. I'm going to talk a little about
the perimeter. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Olive. I just got my first ICCU debit card. Now I just need some money in my account. If only there was someone who could transfer in some allowance.
Wow.
I'm going to talk a little about the women's game.
Yeah.
Went to the game. So I flew back from Vegas, and I had a weird – I had to go to Denver and then back up. And everybody that flies to Denver knows that, like, landing there sucks. I'm a nervous flyer. I've flown over – this is not an exaggeration. I've done a rough estimate. I've – like 850 to 1,000 times I've flown in my life.
Yeah.
Like commercial flights. Still a nervous flyer. Not like freak out, but when turbulence happens, I got – you know, I turn the music off. Yeah. I got to hold on to the thing. I got to look forward, open up the thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you go to Denver, it's brutal. Yeah. Every time you go in, there's always, and I've always wondered, and you know, it's one of those where I could look it up, but I'm too lazy. But like, is it the altitude?
But
why does that matter? You know what I'm saying? Cause you're still flying. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good question.
Right. So anyway, I land at 12:30, supposed to land at like 12:15. We're a little bit delayed. Game starts at 1:00. I sprint over there, get my daughter a ticket. So she meets me over there. And I must say the atmosphere in the kennel was fantastic for that game. So I watched the three quarters, second quarter, third quarter, obviously fourth quarter. The ladies played as good as you could play.
Yeah, that's. I mean, they won by almost.
They didn't miss a shot in the third quarter. Oh, it was crazy. It was one of those where, like, ball was pinging wide open, bang, bang, bang. Crowd was getting into it. Defensively, they had a great plan. Stanford's big girl, the blondie that's really good inside, shot block skilled. She was, I think, sick. So she didn't play the second. That helped a little bit, but we were beating them before that. So I've seen, well, they didn't play them at full strength. Like, well, it didn't matter. They were up at halftime. But our girls played fantastic. The two twin sisters, Trong sisters, played good. Ejim was unbelievable. That girl was so good. Hard rip, finish at the rim. And then I think it's Maxwell, or the shooter girl, number 22, man. She was literally on fire. Had 27, all like rip pull-up jumpers in people's face. They go under, whack. Like, it was just, and it was such just, it was just cool to be in that environment for the ladies game. You know, they have a great fan base, but it's not sold out to the brim. That's just the truth. But they get 4,000, you know, 4,500 a night. So they have a great fan base. But it was like rocking in there, and it was really cool. So congrats to the ladies, moved into the top 25 as they should. That was the biggest win, or the highest rated team they've ever beaten in program history.
Oh, wow.
And then it was Stanford's biggest loss in the last 4 years they've ever had. But I must say, Stanford, kudos to them for playing like a home and home. Like, they don't have to, like, in theory, they're Stanford. You can come play us at our place, and then we'll play you neutral in the arena or something. You know, you can make it up. So kudos to them for playing us home and home. So, yeah, it was just great ladies basketball game, man. It was fantastic. They scored the ball. Ball was pinging. Our big girls inside, like I said, Ejim, they had another girl, Hollingsworth or whatever her name is, had 15 off the bench as well. I mean, it was just like beautiful, like, balls pinging. Defensively, we're all over the glass. Those Trong sisters, hopefully I'm saying their name right, but they both can score the basketball. They both got moxie to them, you know, kind of F it attitude. And then Ejim's just a tough ass, man. Like, she just kicks people's ass, and she's like undersized, but she just leg whips people. And then they, you know, if they front, they throw lobs to her all the time. She just catches, power dribble, score. Like, she just, you know, I think she had 20 something.
Yeah.
13. Like, she just kicks people's ass. So it was fun to go and keep watching the ladies game. It's a fun game. You just have to, you know, some people that are, there's no dunking, like, who cares?
Yeah,
like, it's like, okay, how many dunks in a men's game do you see? One or two? And are they really that good?
right
You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
true, yeah,
it's true. Like, there's not really a bunch that like where you go, oh my god.
Yeah,
so it's a below the rim game, but it's a team basketball game, and you see kind of the true essence of how the game was meant to be played. Team, share the ball, rotate, you know what I mean? All those things. So congrats to the ladies. Hopefully they continue to win. Got a really good win against Eastern, too, the day before, 82-80, and Eastern has a good girls program.
I was going to ask. I was like looking at the schedule. I was like, they eked out a win against Eastern Washington. And
Eastern's good, too.
They're good, okay.
Yeah, Eastern's good. Obviously, I've talked about it a little bit on some of these that I coach my daughter's team, so I'm a little bit not fully entrenched, but I know enough around the area, like, what teams are good for girls hoops, obviously. And I know a lot of the high school girls that play, because I've coached a lot of them, and the ones that are going to play somewhere, right? I've been lucky enough to coach them, so I know some of the coaches, and they've come to our games and blah, blah, blah. So Eastern's got a good program, too. They got a really good program.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, they're on the rise. So, go watch the girls hoops teams. And
great. You know, it's a great way to experience the kennel if you – you know,
100%.
Yeah, you mean that, you should go. Like, I wouldn't say like it's a great way to experience if you can't go to the men's game. Like, true, but like, you're also like, there. We have a nationally ranked women's team in Spokane.
Well, and they've been, you know,
and they're great.
Yeah, and how many years have they been in the NCAA tournament in a row?
I mean, I think it's upwards of 8.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's always good hoops.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like, you're not just going in there to say you walked in the kennel. Like,
right,
you're watching good hoops, and that's just the real deal about it.
Yeah,
and they have good players, they have a good culture, They actually, again, I hope this doesn't get taken the wrong way, but they have fans at their games. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been to other girls' games with really good programs, and just people don't show up.
Yeah.
And so the atmosphere is a little bit dead. Mm-hmm. Now, if you love the game, that shouldn't matter, but it's, you know, you want to see people supporting the ladies' game.
For sure.
The Spokane Community Sports, that program, because they earned it and they deserve to. But it's nice when you go to any sporting event that there's an atmosphere.
Yeah.
So you're going to get that. If you go to the ladies' game, you're going to get good hoops, and then you're going to get some atmosphere. And then, you, like you said, you get to experience the kennel. And the presentation's a little bit different. Like, they do way different games.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Like halftime. Like
halftime games. They did, like, drawings and stuff. I was like, oh, cool. You know what I mean? Because I haven't been to a game in a while. Mm-hmm. It was cool to go with my daughter, obviously. But, yeah, congrats to the ladies. Big-time win. Stanford's, if you don't know the ladies' games, is a perennial power. I think they won it 3 years ago with a little nugget. The Hull sisters from Spokane that went to CV, they won a national championship with them. So, like, girls' hoops in Spokane has always been good. And those ladies, actually, another nugget, CV won the year before, or 2 years before, won the national championship of, like, girls' high school basketball as a public school, which is insane.
Which, yeah, it doesn't happen.
Which is insane if people really think, like, a public school where they all have to live in the district won the national championship, which is insane. But anyway.
Yeah.
And they went to Stanford.
Yeah, and they went to Stanford.
They went to Stanford. Next week we're going to go over UConn. Obviously the recap UW, hopefully it's a win, but nonetheless, we'll recap that game, talk about UConn, massive game at Climate Pledge Arena. Obviously the, you know, revenge game from last year, which doesn't make any sense, but that's what they're going to bill it as. UConn just lost at home on the road to Kansas in a very good basketball game, a close game. So UConn is right back to where they were.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. You know, that East Coast is kind of grind you, play tough. Hurley scream at his guys, but they believe in him, and obviously he's a good coach. So that's going to be a fun one to preview and talk about. Thanks for listening. Thank you to our sponsors, McGilvery Environmental, Idaho Central Credit Union, and HDG Architecture. Thank you again for listening, and see you next week.